Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We have worked our way all the way through the first chapter of the prophecy of Malachi. But I still have just a few more considerations before we lay it to rest and go on into chapter 2. And that's what I intend to do on the broadcast today. If you are new to the Beacon Broadcast today, then please know that the book of Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and Malachi the prophet, who penned these words, was the last prophet to whom God gave divine revelation in the Old Testament. At the close of Malachi's prophecy, there were 400 silent years when God spoke nothing to his people except what had already been written, until the coming of John the Baptist, the next prophet, who was the forerunner of Christ and prepared the way for the coming of Christ. In other words, Malachi really does close out the Old Testament era, because the next prophet ushers in the New Testament, the new covenant. No longer the Old Covenant, but the New Covenant. And the problem in Malachi's day is that the people of God were going through the motions of serving God, but their heart was not in it. They were being deceitful, they were being hypocritical, and God considers that to be the greatest insult to him of all. Really. You study this chapter, and that's the only conclusion you can draw. That God detests hypocritical, insincere, deceitful, so-called worship, because of course it's not really worship, but it's going through the motions and show of worship. It's trying to make others think that you are worshiping and serving God. God detests that more than virtually anything else. And that's a very sobering and solemn realization, and all of us need to guard our hearts and examine our hearts in the light of this. And so we'll continue it on this Monday, October 7. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for helping me with the financial support required for this broadcast to continue on this station. Well, what we saw in the last three verses of Malachi chapter 1 is, number one, the wrong attitudes of God's people in their worship. They were critical of God. They were cynical about the worship of God, the temple worship that God had prescribed. They were disengaged. They considered it all to be a weariness. Wrong attitudes. Coupled with wrong actions, they had unsanctified tongues that spoke disparagingly to others of the worship of God, and unguarded gestures in their negative body language, sneering at what was going on, in addition to being openly disobedient and bringing prohibited sacrifices and offering them on the altar as if it didn't make any difference what God said. It makes no difference what God says. We'll worship God according to our preferences. Watch that attitude. I'm afraid there's a lot of that around today. And the divine response to all of that is verse 14, namely, God curses this kind of worship. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. All right, now, let's think about some of the ways that we can be guilty of the same sins that the people of Malachi's day were guilty of. What about those who call themselves Christians but accuse God of injustice or unfairness or being a bully and so forth? You say, oh, no Christian would say anything like that. Friends, I have read statements by people claiming to be Christians where they've said things exactly like that. What can that be but dishonoring God? What can we say about those who call themselves Christians, but they misrepresent God by redefining Him? They won't accept the definition of who God is that is given in the Bible. That isn't acceptable to them. And so they remake God in their own image by redefining His characteristics according to their preferences, and yet they still call themselves Christians. Can that be any more pleasing to God than this hypocritical, deceitful worship of Malachi's day? Or what about people who call themselves Christians and use the Bible as a religious prop, but clearly have no interest in what it actually says? How many people talk about, oh, how I love Jesus, and oh, how I love the Bible, and they have their Bible, sometimes very expensive and beautiful books with beautiful and expensive leather covers, and maybe with their name embossed in gold on the cover. And it's beautiful to look at, and they point to that as the evidence that they are a Christian, but the Bible never gets opened, and they're not really interested in what it says. And how is that any different from the deceitful, hypocritical worship of Malachi's day? What about pulpits in America where book reviews are substituted for Bible exposition in the pulpits? You say, surely that doesn't go on. It goes on every Sunday in America. Instead of taking the only book that God has given, the Bible, and taking a portion of that and preaching it, by explaining its meaning to the people and applying what it says, applying honestly the implications of that passage to the lives of the people who are there. Instead, take a book written by a man, maybe about the Bible, or maybe about current events, political ideas, or whatever, and basically offer a book review of that book from the pulpit instead of preaching the Bible. How is that any different from the hypocrisy of Malachi's day of pretending to worship God but refusing to worship Him in the way that He requires us to worship Him? How about those who call themselves Christians but twist the intended meaning of God's word to approve what God disapproves? We see a lot of that going on today. Oh my. Oh my. Yeah, the Bible seems to say this, but. The Bible seems to say that, but. The Bible seems to require this. Some people think so. Yes, I know these verses, these sections are in the Bible. That's what it seems to say. But, and here comes an elaborate explanation that has more twists and turns in it than a bag of pretzels, and the final result is that it takes what God says and turns it upside down and tells people the exact opposite of what the Bible actually teaches, and that is given as biblical doctrine, as Christian doctrine. How is that any different from the people of Malachi's day who are distorting the worship of God deliberately? What about those who replace God-prescribed elements of worship with substitutes more pleasing to men? God prescribes preaching His word. Preach the word. Be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Not preach a book report. Preach the word. But people don't like that. Some people don't. But the people who don't like that, don't you understand? They don't have regenerate hearts. That's why they don't like it. But the Bible prescribes preaching and praying and singing of doctrine-filled songs and scripture reading as the components of our public worship. But those are not favored by some people, so they are changed. How does that differ from what was going on in Malachi's day? How about those who replace exposition with psychology and replace congregational singing with worldly entertainment and corporate prayer with dinners? How about those who call themselves Christians but turn the grace of God into license? They distort the whole concept of grace and use it as an excuse for any kind of behavior that is disapproved in God's word, but we believe in grace. How about those who call themselves Christians, but they turn love into indulgence and distort the biblical meaning of love? How about those who call themselves Christians who exalt the love of God but deny the judgments of God? They love to talk about God being a God of love, but they don't want to talk about God being a God of righteousness and of judgment. What about pulpits that substitute stories in the place of Bible teaching? What about those who turn the new birth into nothing more than a human decision and deny the necessity of changed hearts by the power of God? What about Christians, professing Christians, who avoid church prayer meetings because it doesn't appeal to them, or avoid Sunday night worship if your church has it, but you can't be bothered with that? What about those who call themselves Christians, but they always show up for activities and for meals, but very seldom show up for worship? They prefer fellowship to sermons. How about those who can come on time when it's important but can't ever seem to be on time for public worship? Doesn't that strike you as being similar to the same problems that Malachi was dealing with in his day? Folks, God-prescribed worship requires sacrifice. Sacrifice of our time, sacrifice of our minds, mental labor to focus on what God is saying. And it's not always enjoyable, nor is it supposed to be. To demand that everything that takes place in worshiping God be always immediately enjoyable is to declare your weariness, your boredom with that which God has prescribed, exactly what God is dealing with in Malachi's day. It is true that the God-prescribed elements of public worship do not offer much appeal to the flesh, but they do appeal to the spiritual man. They are ordained and blessed by God for His purposes. Why does God exist to exalt His own name? It is because He's committed to the highest good, because that is the way to bless people, is to exalt His name so that men and women created by God will exalt His name and be blessed in doing. We need to evaluate honestly our attitudes and practices and confess thoroughly what is sinful and seek humbly the forgiveness of God and the power of God to please Him in our Christian worship. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.